Turning to our text this morning, the funeral service is about glorifying the Lord. There is so much misconception about what a funeral service is. This is not a time that we glory in the man. We glory in God who has created all things and sustains all things. We glorify the Lord who gave life, who brings two people together in marriage where there is offspring, that they might worship and praise God for His wondrous goodness to the children of men. The whole of the Christian life from A to Z is about glorifying God, not exalting man. That's a problem we have in our culture, isn't it? And then we come to funeral services and people want eulogies. They want little nice trunk, these little things talking about this person, these little tidbits and laughter and joke, and it's all about this person. These little nuggets about them. It's not about them. It's about the glory of God who raises the dead and gives life to those who have a rebellious heart, and He changes it and takes out the heart of stone and gives a heart of flesh that they might believe the promises of the Savior. It's about Him. There is good news. There is comfort when you come to the text of Scripture. Every believer that is in here this morning finds comfort, not in the Word of men, but in the Word of God. God gives comfort to His people through the truth. And to know what happens to the body, the believer can be fearless in death. Why? Because death no longer has a sting. For the believer, it's a dying to sin and entering into eternal life. And there is great comfort in knowing this for the believer. Because at one point in time, we will all be on our deathbed. And as the Catechism teaches, what is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your comfort? What are you trusting in? What are you holding on to? What brings you comfort? If it's things of the world, that's no comfort. They are fleeting. They are simply like a vapor that just simply dissipates. There's no comfort in that. You need to find comfort in Jesus Christ, who He said, "My word will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of our God abides forever." Forever, O Lord, your word has been established in the heavens. We find comfort in the word of truth. And here is the truth of God's word. For the believer, to be absent from this physical body, we are created by God, body and soul. And the death is unnatural, and it came in through Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, we all fell in him, and we come totally depraved, wretched people into this world. God must do a work of regeneration. He must raise us up spiritually and give us new life. And then when the day of death comes, and that's the penalty of sin, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And now all the posterity of Adam dies. But for the believer, as I said, it's a dying to sin in entering into eternal life. What a joy. To be done with sin. To be done with that rebellion that still exists within my soul. To be perfectly glorified in my soul in the presence of God in a conscious way. Understanding. Being able to communicate. And no more sin. Purged completely of all sin. What a wonder. What a joy. And so the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says, to be absent from the body for the believer is to be immediately present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said that he was hard pressed between being here with the people of God and departing to be with Christ, which he said is far better than being here. We also find the thief on the cross when he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, the Greek construction means, "Today, this day, you will be with me in paradise." So when the thief died physically, the soul departed from his body and went into the very presence of God, into the throne of God, into the place where God dwells, as where Jesus is right now. And so, when we come to death for the believer, there should be no misunderstanding. You shouldn't be confused about this issue. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And Lazarus had the two sisters, Mary and Martha. That's the Martha that was always busy serving. And you'll remember that account with her where she probably, in some sense, was rebuking Jesus. It's never a good thing to do. But Lord, tell my sister to help me. Here I am serving all alone and she's doing nothing. She's sitting at your feet. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better place, the better portion. Whenever the Word of God comes forth, the best portion is to sit and listen. It's to listen to what God speaks to us in His Word, communicated by the Holy Spirit, and that goes down into the recesses of our soul and makes changes of the way that we think and the way we speak and the way that we live, and gives us a comfort to know that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not one who is fearful of evil. Because the Good Shepherd, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who has purchased me, He's with me. He dwells with me. He dwells in me. So, Lazarus dies. Jesus deliberately stays back 2 days. Why? Because this is going to be for the glory of God. 4 days, they understood that the body was truly dead. And when Jesus arrived, He had been dead 4 days. Lazarus had been. So there was no misunderstanding that this man had died. There was a Jewish rabbinical tradition that said that when someone died, the soul hovered over the body for 3 days, and if it then went back into the body would revive again. So you could see that Jesus was putting to death this traditional thing of the Jews. 4 days. The man was dead. And even according to their superstitious tradition, which is absolute nonsense, but nevertheless, Jesus was leaving no wiggle room. After 4 days, they couldn't say, well, his soul was hovering and it just came back to the body. No, no. Make no mistake. They all knew that this man was dead. And the custom was that Mary and Martha then would sit and would grieve, and all the mourners would gather around them to comfort them. Then Martha, she heard those words. The Master's coming. Jesus is coming. She immediately makes her way out to meet Jesus before He comes to the home. You can't help but wonder, because the text doesn't say, but did she run out there in the same type of spirit and attitude that she had when she said to the Lord, tell my sister to help me? Because she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus begins to teach her the truth about life and death. But you know, she has faith. She says, even though I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Implying that if you ask of God, if you pray to your Father in heaven, He will grant life to my brother again. He will bring him from the dead. Jesus said to her, your brother will live again. Notice the faith of Martha. I know he will rise again. Rise, the Greek term means to stand up again. I know that that'll happen. I'm sure of that. The knowledge there, the knowing that she has, it means she is completely assured that this is the case. Why? She knows what the Old Testament taught. So she says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Let me ask you this. Those of you here this morning who name the name of Christ, do you believe the resurrection? Do you believe this body that will be buried 6 feet in the dirt, in this casket, in a vault, put a lid on it? Do you believe that at the last day when Christ returns, whenever that is, that this body will rise again, decayed as it is? I read once that they said it takes 4 years for for the body to completely be decayed and go back to the dust. And so when Christ returns, there will be nothing left in those caskets but bones and dust and a suit or a dress. Do you believe that God can bring this body to life again? Do you believe that He could raise Him from the dead? Do you believe that we will come out of the graves? This is the promise of the gospel. If you do not, you have a problem. You have a serious problem. And your problem is, you are denying the truth that God proclaims in His Word. Ezekiel speaks about the valley of the dry bones. And as the Lord led him out to the valley of the dry bones to see this heap of bones all out there in that valley, piled up in a big heap. And the Lord asked Ezekiel this question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" What would you say? Would you be a naturalist? Would you say, well, the body, that's all that there is, and once it's dead and it is no more, and there is nothing after this life? We live and we die and we're done and that's it and you go nowhere else. Nobody believes that because God has put eternity into all a man's heart. So we ask, can these bones live? Lord, You alone know. And the Lord told him to speak to those bones. And Ezekiel began speaking to the bones and the bones began to come off of that heap and began connecting to one another. I'm sure Ezekiel was just mortified when he saw what was going on. God has the power to raise the dead. That's a foretaste of the resurrection. A heap of humanity that had died in nothing but skull and bones, and the Lord puts it together in the sinew and the muscle, and everything comes together. God raises the dead. Martha believed that, but she was concerned about the death of her brother. Maybe the emotions were swallowing her up. And that's always the danger that we have. Is not being led by the truth, but being led by emotions and feelings. And then you begin to trump the truth of God's Word because of how you feel about things. Be careful. The truth is to inform our minds, which engage our wills, and then affect how we feel about things. Jesus looked at her and He said, "I am the resurrection." What a comfort that is to Martha and to all who believe on Jesus. This is the fifth I am saying in the Gospel of John that Jesus gives. And the I am statements, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the light, I am the light of the world. The I am statements direct them back to the teaching of the Old Covenant and reveal that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. I am the one who gives life. I am the one who raises up life. I am life itself. I am the one who causes men to come out of the grave and to be standing up again, as it were. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't be so concerned that you're swallowed up in grief. I'm the one who gives life. I sustain life. I speak life into this world. And Jesus says this, "He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live." This is the pause portion. And the pause portion is this. Do you believe? Do you believe? Not your neighbor, you. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? He is the life giver. He is the sustainer of life. He is the producer of life. He is the author and finisher of the one who has faith in Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe He spoke all things into existence in the beginning when He said, "Let there be light," and there was light? Do you believe it? And that's what it means when Jesus says, believing, pistuo, means do you have faith in Christ as the resurrection and the life? Now every believer in here has been raised up spiritually to newness of life. At one time of our lives and wherever we may have lived, we were in rebellion against God. Our heart was hardened. We lived our lives for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's how the world lives. It knows nothing else. But in the grace of God, He regenerates the soul. He makes the soul come alive to God. A dead soul doesn't mean that one doesn't have a soul. A dead soul means it is at war with God. And that's why the most vocal person who says he's an atheist, he goes out and he wants to deny that there's a true and living God. God doesn't exist. This is all fairy tales. Why is he fighting about a God he says that does not exist? Why is he so angry about that? Because he knows God exists. He knows in his soul that God exists. He knows in his inward parts that God exists. The natural man knows. He doesn't want God in any of his thinking. But he can't get rid of God in his thinking because he's created as God's image bearer. Fallen and shattered he may be, nevertheless, he is not a beast. He's not a bird. He is a human being created in God's image. So he cannot eradicate it. That spiritual life the Holy Spirit brings, and he brings through the Word. That is the importance of parents bringing children under the hearing of the Word. That's the importance of you being under the hearing of the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless he be sent? So a man is sent by the church, gifted by God, to be in the church to preach the good news of the gospel that men may hear and the Holy Spirit may do a work and raise one up spiritually from spiritual death to spiritual life. And when that happens, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That man is new. He's different. He's changed. He's not perfect, but he's not what he once was. He believes the promise of the gospel. He believes the word of God. He trusts Jesus Christ. Come what may, he lays hold of Christ in him alone. He knows that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And there is no life apart from him. You understand that, don't you? If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. If you don't have Christ, if you're not believing on him, if you're not united to him by true faith, you're in death. You're alive physically. You're dead spiritually. And you are at war with God. And you die and you will descend to hell. And there you are waiting the great white throne judgment when God brings body and soul out of hell and then is judged, only then to be thrown to the lake of fire forever. Why would you go to hell? Why would you go to hell? Why would you persist in unbelief? Why would you persist in rebellion against God when He's given His Son as the one who brings life? And Jesus says, come, come to me. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? I will give you rest. It's emphatic. I and I alone will give you rest. I will give you life. So Jesus said, he who believes in me, though he may die, there are some that will not die before Christ returns. But the believer, though he die, yet will he live. What does Jesus mean? Believing, he's already been regenerated. He has the new birth. And he is born again, born from above. And even though the body dies, it will come to life again. It's the promise Jesus gives right here. Body and soul must come together. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You'll never die spiritually. The body will die. You will never die spiritually. You have passed from death to life. The one who believes on Jesus Christ, trusting His work, His person, that He is the Messiah, the Savior, who has fulfilled all the requirements of the law of God in the place of His people, who's gone to the cross to lay down His life, to cover, to atone for with His precious blood the sins of His people, who rose from the dead as a demonstration that the Father has received the work of the Son on behalf of His people. The one who believes on Him, who has that everlasting life, has the promises that go with it. That all that Jesus did, He did for His people. That's what it means to believe on Jesus. It's to trust the gospel. It's to trust Him. Jesus is the good news. You never die. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to this promise of Jesus. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and has passed from spiritual death to spiritual life and will nevermore come under condemnation. Here's the question. The same question that Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe this? That's what it comes down to. On your dying day, on your deathbed, that's what it comes down to. Do you believe Christ? Do you trust Jesus? Do you have faith in the Lamb of God? That's what it all boils down to in life. Take everything else away. That is the all important question. Am I united to Jesus? He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life and will never see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Flee. Flee to Jesus. Fly to Christ. Run to him who has come to give his life as a ransom for many. Choose life. Why would you choose death? Why would you choose punishment when the Savior was punished in the place of his people? Martha responds, Lord, I believe. I have faith that you are the Christ. That's a God-given faith. That's a Holy Spirit work who creates faith. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Do you believe? Don't leave here today without knowing that you're trusting Jesus. Because our life is a vapor. Every one of us are here today and gone tomorrow. If you've been married any length of time, you ask that question, where's the time gone? And it seems as the older you get, the more rapid time goes by. And you look back at your old high school pictures and you say, boy, that used to be me. What a wonder. Where's the time gone? You have right now is all that you have. Every moment, that's all you have. And you realize that people are dying to a second. Even as we are here breathing, living, hearing, listening, people are dying every second. Choose life. Come to Jesus. Be saved. That's the hope of the believer. That's the confidence and the comfort. Is the Good Shepherd has atoned for all of our sins and we have a comfortable, wondrous, glorious entrance into the kingdom of heaven because of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of all those who trust in him. Amen. Shall we pray?